Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Welcome to another edition of the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. We are back. We had a adventurous match against the Columbus Crew. The Cardiac Cats are back. This club is not one for the faint of heart. There's late minutes goals and etc. and bad starts and good finishes. We'll get into that. But before we do, let me knock out those sponsors and introduce the fellas. So we got Accurate Mortgage. Your home is one of your biggest assets you're going to have. Make sure you get some professional help. Walk you through that process. AMG Lending, they are great. I've used them myself. Reach out to us or to them, and we'll get you guys connected. We have, what else we got? Oh, yeah, FieldTurf USA. All right, don't forget Champions League. Champions League finals in place. Man City and Madrid are both clients. They use their products for some of the training facilities and for the Bernabeu and Etihad Stadium. And we're glad to have them on board. They're doing a lot of stuff. They actually just built a few pitches on the Falkland Islands, man. Super cool stuff. I'll send you guys the pictures. It's really cool to see. And then we got myself, Comparing Insurance, Liberty Mutual. You guys need help with that. Insurance in Florida is absolutely insane. And I'll do what I can to help. All right, fellas. Well, today we got JJ.
What's happening?
Shirt. JJ, no shirt. Oh, Jose.
With my forehead in the picture.
Ooh, right, you guys, forehead's over here. Ooh. With the sleep apnea, trying to
sleep apnea, whatever. Listen, I'm happy to be back. You know, talked about Cardiac Cats. I kind of had a heart attack in the last game against the Columbus. Yeah. But we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay. Good. And we got Mike, Mighty Mike Spillane here. Is that how you say? I always forget. Is it Spillane?
Yeah,
Spillane?
You got it right.
Insane and Spillane. Gotcha.
Spillane, you got it right.
Spillane and the insane.
That's what my old boss used to say whenever a story or something came out. He'd always be like, "Hey, come over here and Spillane it to me real quick." So
I like this boss.
Already. Oh, you know, he speaks to your heart.
Yes, man. That's it. Bro, that guy, me and him are buds. I immediately when you said that, I just imagined cargo shorts. It's just perfect.
No, not quite.
No. Oh, okay. Well, then, you know, I could turn them. I could turn them to the cargo shirts. Embrace it. It's about functionality, fellas. All right. And Mike, so what's up, man? We got Columbus Crew. We got a point on the road. You know, how you feeling, man?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Getting a point on the road in this league is never going to be disappointing. It's always a positive to make sure that we're getting a point on the road. That first half though, man, that first half was ugly. Like there's not many other ways I could describe it aside from the fact that we just got played off the pitch. But there was some good second half adjustments, some good, good personnel changes. And, we were able to find a goal, and then find a second late on Cardiac Cats, Duncan McGuire, 92nd minute off a deflection. A little bit of luck goes a long way and we'll take that. We'll always take that, but we still got three really tough rivalry games coming up, including two of them this week.
Yeah.
And, it's a good feel good point, but we got to find ways to get points in these next three games too. And those ones are going to be tougher.
Yeah, it's such a congested schedule, and all these games are like almost like six pointers. You know, even though it's early, but it's really tight right now in the standings. In the standings overall, right? We have Orlando City after a 2-2 draw at Columbus. Darlington Nagby and another fella got his name scored in the first half for them. They're just tap ins basically.
Yeah.
And then Urchincada, Columbus Crew, terrible defense. Faku slips Urchincada through ball, nice, slots it away, good finish, second goal in four games since he came back. Kata thought he had a pretty good game, and then Duncan McGuire off a rebound in the box, winds up and smacks it, deflects off the goal and goes in, and here we go. But right now in 15 points, we have Miami, Montreal, Columbus, DC, NYC, Orlando, then Charlotte. So right now we're 11th. We're out of the playoffs, which is 9 spots due to various tiebreakers. But all of these, we're going to play Miami here soon. We're going to play NYC tomorrow. This is Tuesday we're recording. We're going to play them on Wednesday. And this table could look all upside down. We could be near the bottom of it, or we could be near the top half of it just by Saturday night. So it could be very, very interesting. JJ, what do you think about the match?
First half, man, I was poppy out in the first half. Then second half came in. My sources told me the Wilfs went in there and told Oscar, hey, you better freaking do something or you're going to get fired and we're leaving you here in Columbus.
Stop.
And then guess what? They came out and they played like they never played before. And they scored. Kara scored. Kara looked like a freaking Harry Kane. And then here comes Duncan, runs on Duncan over here, Orlando City. He just kicked the hell out of the ball and deflected off one of the players and went in. So we tied. We got a point. If we played 5 more minutes, we probably would have scored another one.
Yeah, we had all the momentum. Yeah, we had all the momentum at the end there.
The second half was totally different, and that was a lie. No sources. I have no sources. I was just kidding with everybody before everybody goes on Twitter and says I had sources, because my 3 o'clock p.m. last week was about the Champions League. It had nothing to do with the Oscar. I don't know why everybody was 3 p.m. Oscar was going to get fired.
That was about
funny for us, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, that's called textbook projection by the people who fell for it, you know?
So
that's what that's called. But they wanted it to be that, yeah.
But going back to the game, second half, man, we looked good. I actually liked what I saw. First half totally was unacceptable, but second half. So if we go in to NYCFC tomorrow and we play like we did in the second half and even a little bit better, man, I like our chances with the against NYCFC. And then, you know, going into Miami and Fort Lauderdale area, the Executive Airport Stadium there in Fort Lauderdale. And then that would be basically just awesome if we, you know, continue this. But, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not here bashing, you know, Orlando City. I want them to win. We're all here as fans. We want, you know, we all invest on this team. We're all here for the badge. We all love it. So people that say that I'm here to wanting to lose, no, I want to win. And I'm telling you right now, the second half, man, if we play like this all the time, we'll be dangerous and, you know, we'll be good.
Good. I think the positive behind that is, like, if there's any like worry that Oscar's lost the locker room or anything like that, I feel like that second half is one of those things that kind of shows that he hasn't. Cause that team played together in the second half for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now the match ultimately finished 22 shots to 10 for Columbus, 7 on target. We got 3 on target instead of 2. We usually just get the ones on target go in, but we actually made them make a save. That's good. 59 to 41 possession. Chances created, the 3-4. A lot of Columbus's shots was Cucho, who was, man, he was cooking Antonio Carlos. Yeah, Antonio Carlos is a good defender, but he's big. He's not as mobile. And Cucho was so quick and crafty, you know. He was giving him tons of trouble. He was creating all the he created the goals, basically himself, etc. And then the XG is was up. I lost it here. You got the XG, Mike. I lost it. I had it here.
Yeah,
for a second.
Give me. I can bring that up. I know that we were on about 1.1 XG. Obviously, we scored 2 goals, so we kind of outperformed our expectations a little bit. Mm-hmm. And they were their near XG. 3. I'm bringing it up on FootMob was almost 4, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was like 3. Depends which
it was
one.
3 points something for
their variations. Columbus. Yeah, variations.
Because I remember on Den After Dark, mm-hmm. Swag was talking about it was like 1.3 for us and 3.2 for them or something like that.
3.5 according to
ours. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? It told the story because Caras, you know, it was outside the box at the end. It wasn't like a completely easy finish. I'll give him credit for that. And then Duncan's as well, and then, you know, they scored. Their two goals were super easy, but I'm sure that what helped them get to number three was that crazy rebound. Or deflection. Somebody shot. I forgot who. They hit deflected off of Kyle Smith the other way, and Pedro almost got wrong footed. I don't know how he came out. That was insane. I was watching it. My Peruvian uncle, my wife's uncle, is in town from Peru. And I was like, hey, we got two Peruvians, and let's watch it. I wanted to take him to a game, but unfortunately, he leaves tonight, right before the game. We have two home games. He shows up the day after the home games, and he leaves the day of the next home game. So bad luck for Mr. Freddie Aniceto here. But we watched it together. He knows of Cartagena and Gallese, of course. And he was just like, bro, the first half, he's like, there's no organized – the midfield is non-existent in the first half. They're not moving the ball. They keep trying to force Gaston to cross. You know, the ball and then Gallese, he was like, bro, Gallese saved you guys some points. But he said ultimately, you know, a road point is always a good thing, right? So that's positive for sure, a positive takeaway. They did fight back. They are playing for their coach. They have heart. That was fantastic. Speaking of the changes, Mike, what did you see in the second half? We saw some substitutions in the second half there. We saw Kyle Smith come in. In the second half, we saw Mikey Holiday come in. We saw DDT Dagger Dan Thorsen come in, and we also saw Duncan come in from Maguire. But that was at the end. Kata was it looks like he was holding a knock. Someone stepped on him, I think, at that point in a corner in the box. Someone stepped on him. And shout out to Kata. There was a cross in the box after a corner. Man, that was going to be a goal. And Kata slid and defended that away. That was some good defending by Kata.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Thorsen came in for Cartagena. Got a little bit more attack there because we had a double pivot into Cartagena and Araujo are pretty similar. And then Enrique came in for Angulo, a little more direct at that point because Angulo never really got in the game as a wing back. The Orlando started in the 3-5-2, 3-4-3, or – whatever it is, and then Ojeda couldn't get in the game. Faku was a little bit lost. The second half, he was a little more central. It worked better. I thought Kata worked, you know, was making good runs. Faku played him in, but Kata loves taking that far post bender where I think last year we saw where he should have passed it to Juan, remember? Yeah. And then this time I think Ojeda was open at the far post.
He was.
But it's hard to fault the striker for taking shots, and that was good movement to get there. So I think Kata's continued to work hard since he came back. So credit to him.
That's one thing I was definitely going to say is I think that credit where it's due when it comes to Urchinkara is especially over the last few games, he's kind of shown what we've wanted him to be. He's being more of a pressing forward. He's shown more of that athleticism, a little bit of better on the defensive side of the ball.
Hold up play. Much better.
Better, cleaner touches. Like I definitely think it's one of those things where Duncan kind of came in and it might have lit a little bit of a fire under his backside. And that's a good thing. Like that's the thing is like, you don't want someone to come in and like, you know, and that person's taking your DP's job. You want to make that person compete so that your players are all playing at a better, higher level. So if Duncan's able to push Kara because of the fact that Kara may have been a little bit complacent, that's good. Like, I'm not saying that Kara was complacent. I'm just saying if in theory, you want competition at all positions. That's a good thing. I'm excited. I'm happy that that's happening. I wish that there was more competition at the left back position because right now I feel like we don't know what's happening there.
Right. Well, Patrasso is back at training today off to the side.
Yeah.
Mauricio Pereira trained with the club. So he should be back probably maybe not tomorrow, but Saturday.
Yeah. So, with some fixture congestion, that's definitely good. Going back to your original question, though, as far as like, you know, second half changes and what changed, one of the things that happened is with some of the substitutions, I know a couple of us immediately fringed a little bit when we started seeing defense for defense substitutions and Kyle Smith coming in when we needed to score more goals. But actually what that ended up being was switching from a 3 at the back to a 4 at the back and going back to our traditional 4-4-2. And that actually worked really well to kind of stabilize our setup and our positioning on the field. So that actually worked out really, really well. And one of the things that I've said on that Den After Dark, and it just kind of continues to look like it's true, is when we're down two goals, we end up looking better in attack because of the fact that we throw the tactics out. Right, and it's right, one of those things. It's the, you know, it's not, maybe we should start every game telling the players, hey, we're down two, even though we're not, like, just don't follow the tactics. Just play your game and attack the goal. Not that that's necessarily the way that we want to live, but whenever the tactics seem like they have to get thrown out because of the fact that we need goals, we show that we can be a really class attacking team. And I just want more of it. that's what we're all clamoring for. It's amazing. Right. We can go from having,
why do we need a coach? Just throw out the tactics. Just go out there and play.
Yeah.
Really, really don't need a coach then.
No, we could go from having such an awful first half to such a good second.
I know.
Half. It was mind blowing.
And it's like you're saying, Mike, the tactics, I mean, you throw them all out and you see you're down to nothing and you're going always, why can't we do that continuously, you know, and play forward and play the attacking mind? Why do we start games basically parking the bus, you know, yeah, and just not doing anything? Let's go. We have the attack. That's why we have Facundo. That's why we got Martin Ojeda, Cara. Let's play that way, you know. Now, my question is to both of you. Mauricio comes in. He comes back, say not to tomorrow, but comes back to the inner Fort Lauderdale game, you know. Does that change? Does that change the whole scheme of things with this team again, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
because right, now you've been playing with Facundo more of, you know, as a number 10 and being free. Now what happens? You know, that's my question now to you guys.
What are we going to do? See, what I would think I'd like to see is, because we've really, since Mauricio went out, is when we started moving Facundo more to the 10. I would like to see Facundo at the 10 with Mauricio at the 8 to see if that works a little bit better than what we were doing previously with more of Ojeda at the 10 and Mauricio at the 8, just to see if it kind of works a little bit better. I don't know that it will, but I'm hoping that it could end up kind of having that effect that we had in the US Open Cup last year, where we put Urso at the 10 and Mauricio at the 8. And for some reason, that was what kind of unlocked our offense for a few games. I'd like to see it. I don't see anything against it. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, if that's going to be the way things happen. It's been weird with Mauricio this year, to say the least. I don't have a better way to describe that. It's been so up and down, hot and cold from different positions of where he's playing compared to how we're doing as a team.
Yeah. It is weird for sure. So with the second half substitutions, we went to more, you know, traditional Poppy formation, so to speak, right? How do you feel like it impacted the match in regards to the way the second half shaped out? Cause it was much better. I mean, the XG numbers, the second half, you know, we just chance creation. That's where our chances really came from. Both goals, you know, we looked threatening. We seemed to be the protagonists, if you will, right? Where in the first half, we couldn't get out of our box. They had us pinned in. People, I mean, Carlos got cooked. Rodrigo got cooked. Jansen got cooked, you know. And Araujo is having a bit of a rough go lately. And with passing, it feels like he relies so much on Mauricio to bail him out. He's always close to him. That when Mauricio's not there, he's not being as tidy with the ball, and it's generally pretty tidy. So I wonder how that's gonna, you know, if we need Mauricio to kind of, he makes Caesar better, at least on the ball at that point. But the second half, I felt like we just a little bit more consistent, more threatening. I mean, was it just a formation change, or is it more like, hey guys, we're getting worked here. Let's try to be assertive. We take enough pressure and we just can't hang on. It was just throwing the tactics out, or did you see anything else besides that, Mike?
I really didn't see much else aside from that, because of the fact that that's just what it looked like. It looked like we stopped playing. Like, obviously changing the formation, going into a four at the back, it felt like everything was just more comfortable for everyone at that point. Yeah. And maybe that's what it was. It's just that the team's just not comfortable playing that three at the back formation, which would be a little bit weird considering how much it's been played throughout preseason and stuff like that.
Good point. Why can't back three? It just seems like it renders who can't, they can't be elite at times. You know, the conforms a little bit inconsistent this year, Jansen and Carlos, but it makes them so much worse. Yeah. And Rodrigo, Rodrigo's lack of positional discipline, I think, gets exposed even more. And then if we're using these wingbacks and Gastón González and Angulo, they have a hard time defending. You know, I mean, they got, you know, and communication is a problem. One of the goals, the Darlington Nagby is by himself. There's two guys at the back post. Cartagena and Carlos go to the same guy and leave two people open. You know, so just what is it?
And that happened multiple times too. Yeah, there were times that they didn't complete the scoring motion.
Exactly. JJ, I can ask you this. Why can't we, if we're going to play three to back, how can't this team not get this right? And then the question I have for you is, we got a game tomorrow. These guys mm-hmm. went hard. This is the thing about Orlando. They play an ugly style. It's not a style where you can put your foot on the ball, control it. It's a tiring style of football, right? Because you're clearing stuff out, you're diving, you're sliding, you're chasing, right? You're running, you're putting everything out, you're throwing the kitchen sink. It's a tiring brand of football. So we got to rotate somehow, which is causing us to not really get a continuous lineup, work the kinks out, and jail, right? So we can't seem to play a back three, right? And then we have a short week again. This is like fourth game, and I don't know what. Right. And we're going to have to, another match. We had to open cup. Well, this is going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in 2 weeks, you know, pretty much. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
5 games in 2 weeks. Five games in 2 weeks. And what do you expect tomorrow lineup wise? Or what do you, I know you always clamor to have a continuous lineup. But do you think it's possible? What do we see tomorrow?
I mean, what you're talking about, Eddie, is true. So you put three in the back. You got Rodrigo. You got your three defenders, yeah. Right? So now to rest them, you're going to definitely say that, hey, we're playing four, we're going to play two in the back, and have our fullbacks, because there's no way you're going to play those three guys again. I mean, there's definitely no way because they're already tired as it is, and you're going to play another 90 minutes. So definitely my lineup would be playing four, two fullbacks, going back to the traditional way, mm-hmm. Four in the back. When I say four, two fullbacks and two defenders, defenders. And it has to be Janssen and it has to be Antonio Carlos. I mean, those are our two, even though it looks like looks like Janssen has stepped backwards instead of forward. He's taken a step back. Looking a little bit slower. Antonio Carlos, I don't know, man. He doesn't seem like he's the same guy as he was.
Cucho killed him, man. This was one of the worst performances by Antonio Carlos I think I've seen. Cucho dominated him.
And then the other thing is, remember last year we were talking about Cesar Araújo, how he was the player that no team, if he was on another team, we would hate him. Mm-hmm. I don't see that same theme, in Spanish. I don't know how they say it, but in Portuguese, garra. I don't see the same,
cojones.
Yeah, cojones that he has basically like he did last year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go in. I don't care if I'm going to cut your legs off like a Pep, the back of the Real Madrid days and everything. Yep. Now it seems like he's backed up a little bit. He's more cautious, even though he does do some stupid fouls like he does. But I don't see the Cesar that I saw last year. And but going back to that lineup, it definitely has to be two fullbacks. I mean, if Luca Patrasio is,
he's not full practice.
It's
going to be Kyle Smith, probably, right?
You're going to have to put Kyle Smith on one side, hopefully Mikey Halliday on the other side, and Antonio and Robin,
What are you doing in midfield? How about the midfield?
I mean, you definitely have to have Cesar as that central defensive mid guy.
But are you going to do a double pivot with Cartagena again?
With the Cartagena.
Like we did with the Galaxy?
You have to. I mean, we're getting beat in that back. You're going to have some guys there to help. And then let Facundo, Martin, Gastón González, and Cara up front and do the work, I guess. But you got to have those guys to help out those two, defensive guy.
Are you sitting Angulo then for Gastón on the left? Gastón, you don't know?
I don't know. To me, Angulo – holds on to the ball too much. Gotcha. He there's times that he should dish it out quicker and find that guy that's open. Mm-hmm. Instead, he's trying to be Cristiano Ronaldo doing the high step over the ball and trying to get through guys. And dude, you're going to lose it.
I hear you. But I will disagree there, because to me, Gaston takes people on too, but he gets too much by the touchline and then just kind of gets his head down and just crosses it into to really nobody. He's a little more one-trick pony, Gaston is.
Correct.
Angulo cuts inside. Angulo's just an older player. He's just more experienced. And Angulo's work rate defensively. Gaston works hard too. But Angulo, I trust a little more in possession and tracking back. And I like to have some speed too. So I would put Angulo under. Yeah, we need to have some pace. I like him running at someone, but there's an argument for both. Like, I'm not, you know, not a thing. Mike, tomorrow, what do you think we see? We're going, we got to rotate, or you're just going to run it back or whatever, man. Because to me, what do you do? Do you go when Miami is a rival away? Do you try to rotate maybe a lesser lineup tomorrow against NYC and go full on Miami? To me, you got to win home games.
No, you're right. You're right. You got to win your home games. And that's kind of the most important thing in this league. And it's something that we have been abysmal at. Right. And it's one of those things that really, like, it sucks, because we're actually seeing kind of an uptick from last year in home attendance. Like last year, I think on average, we were around like 18K a game. And we've been closer to 20. And again, the game against the Galaxy, we had 22,000 in attendance. So like, we're seeing an uptick in attendance, but our performance at home has been bad. So I'm really hoping that they do start kind of putting together some home results. But it's one of those things that we're kind of, you know, caught between a rock and a hard place as far as what do we do, because we just played a pretty full strength team up in Columbus. We have a short week. We have to play a pretty full strength team against New York City. And then we really need to have a full strength team for a rivalry game against Miami. Three straight games in 8 days. These are the kind of things, though, that top teams do. They can do it. They can handle it. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that there's probably going to be some rotation in the midfield with Mauricio becoming available. That's the expected change that I would see. I think we probably go back to four at the back. So I could see us doing, you know, Kyle, who didn't start against Columbus, Robin, AC, and Holiday, who also didn't start against Columbus. Or no, Holiday did start against Columbus.
No, Holiday didn't.
Holiday didn't. You're right.
It was a back five.
You're right. Wing back. So I could see us going back to that back four. And that'll end up giving some solid depth. And then, you know, Schlegel's probably going to squeak out a start over one of these guys over Ace, whether it be over AC or Janssen, at some point. So I'm just kind of curious as to which game they choose to do that. If they choose to do it against New York City or choose to do it against Miami. But the only thing that I could see changing as far as the attack right now is that they might, Kara might be going to the bench for Duncan. And I'm not saying that because it's performance based, because both of them have actually been playing well. Duncan's our leading goal scorer right now with 4 goals, and he's averaging goals at a pretty great clip right now.
Top of the league. Great.
Yeah. Literally like top of the league. Great. He's only got 245 minutes or something like that, but he's got 4 goals and 1 assist. Like that's a very, very good clip to be scoring at. But Kara's been playing well too. Just the only reason I think Duncan probably starts over Kara is because Kara went off the field with a little bit of a limp. So I'd kind of expect Duncan to end up getting the nod for this game, and then kind of see where we go there. Cause at this point, when it comes to striker, I said from the beginning, when it started to look rough, we're going to be a team that's going to be striker by committee. That looks like it's true. Except for Enrique hasn't really been able to put anything together up top yet, aside from the fact that he's got a lot of energy and pace to burn, which is a good thing. He'll get one eventually. I'm sure that he will. But you know, it's one of those things where we still got a lot of work to do in that position until we have like a set striker, but you got to play the hot hand in the meantime. So.
Right. And Duncan McGuire, Cleon ran the numbers, all comps numbers, you know, including the CONCACAF. He would be third in goals per 90 and first in goals plus assists per 90 in the league. He's, yeah, you know, and yeah, I mean, geez, it's insane how productive he is in moments, and he scores off of not game plan stuff so much.
Dude's
he scored a goal like Kata did, where they threw ball and he slotted it home. Same pretty much type of goal. And then he scored that scrappy. And what I liked about it, and JJ, you talked about this kind of right place, right time kind of person.
Yep,
he saw that Kata was that fight. I think it was Faku got it last. He wasn't really going to get a strike. And then he set himself up almost like wound up, you know, to get a good clean strike, step back, let the ball come to him and just put his laces through it. If he doesn't hit that hard, it's a deflection. So it's not a goal. Yeah, so credit to him.
He's that player that you love to have on your team. He's in the right place at the right time all the time, and that's what I've been wanting Kara to do. And that's the type of player that Kara should be. Kara's not the type that's going to be up at the midfield, they're giving him the ball and him playing with his feet. No, Kara's the type, stays in the box, just like Duncan, try to be at the right place at the right time and score a goal. And if Kara does that, Kara's going to be a sensational player in this league.
Yeah, and look, Kara's numbers aren't bad. I think it's 0.6 goals per 90. He's actually producing very well, so it's not a knock on Kata again. Personally, you guys tell me if I just disagree here. I think, you know, Kata's healthy. He's got to be the starter for now because there's a rookie wall. They're going to get tired. You know, this is a good – when Kata's in form, it's a good way to make sure you manage Duncan's minutes. Duncan's a guy who could get goals out of any situation. He's not a guy – he's not going to have a problem coming off as a sub. He's a rookie. You know, the whole earn your way kind of thing, right? So it got us a guy who seems like he goes off of motivation and confidence. If you sit him down now, it's gonna hurt that. It's gonna set him back, and he's not gonna be a useful sub. So you decrease Kata, and then you take away Duncan's strength a little bit in his effectiveness as a sub. So I see why if Duncan's producing this much, you want to multiply the minutes to multiply the numbers. I get that argument. I'm just saying in a long season, you know, the rookies, they hit a wall. And if you can manage to kind of keep them both happy during this stretch, I think you keep running out with Kata personally. That being said, because Kata had that, you know, had the knock on Saturday, I do think Duncan starts this one because of that, because it's such a short game. And then we see Kata again back on Saturday. So I'm hoping we go back to the 4-4-2-3-1 is what I hope for. But instead on Gulo, like JJ's lineup, I still think we need a double pivot to be secure. NYC has lost, they're out of the Open Cup, right? And they haven't scored in the last two, the Open Cup, and they got shut down in their last match in their Hudson River Derby. So I hate it when teams come in losing because we seem to be slump busters, but I think we got a good shot against them to defend home and build on that. Because for years we have done the scrappy road win, but we used to get home wins on top of it. Road points are great. They're bonus, right? In a certain way. But that has to go with home wins. You can't stacking up ones isn't going to do it. How many times have we talked about, you know, four draws? You know, you could go five straight undefeated with five draws, and you know, you have no losses in five and say undefeated in five. Or you can go two wins and three losses and have 6 points instead of five, right? So you got to start building up 3 points. You got to start building on W's, and hopefully we can start that tomorrow. So real quick, guys, before we jump onto other stuff, what is your prediction score wise for NYC? I'm gonna go first. I'm gonna say we're gonna pull it off 2-1 this time. I want to see Ojeda get back on the mark, and I think I'm gonna give Duncan another goal. Why not? Why not? So, JJ, what do you got for tomorrow? What do you got prediction wise? Did we pull it off?
Oh man, I'm in that boat again. Mm-hmm. We tied. We're gonna lose the game. Then we'll end up winning a game somehow, some way against like Miami. Then we'll go down to a 2-game losing streak again. So tomorrow, we'll win. I think we'll win. We'll win. We'll probably win probably 1-0. It'll be a scrappy goal. We play defense. We win. And then we go down to Miami, and hopefully we beat them too and get 6 points. And then my poppy out, I'll shut up and I won't talk about that until we start losing 2 or 3 games in a row again.
Well, hey, at least I like it. Look, I like you. You're out there. You're honest, you know? So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Mike, what do you got for tomorrow?
I'm going to be the pessimist here. I'm going to go 1-1 draw. I'm not going to go full pessimist and say loss, but until I start seeing it at home, I can't say that it's going to happen at home. So draw for me. I'd like to see it be better. I'm going to give the goal to Duncan just because he scored at this point. He is the guy that scores when he wants. So I think that Duncan will get the goal. And then I'm with JJ in the fact that I think that if we're going to get a win in this stretch, it's going to be a win at Miami. I think that's
that would be peak Orlando. You're right.
It's peak Orlando. We're struggling. Win at Miami, but especially if Giakoumakis is back for Atlanta when we come up against them in the following week, that's going to be a much rougher one. So I don't know how I feel about that, but
ooh, we'll get a little bit into Miami in a second. But a little certain someone that's hurt us in the past has come back to life, and you know, so with Mr. Joseph Martinez. But we have Orlando's had famously had this win-loss kind of situation going. We threw a wrench with a draw. So, you know, maybe we go back on the win-loss thing. So that's why I'm going with the win. We're going to reset our every other.
Well, that's the thing is we can't do the win-loss and get a draw in the middle of it, man. It throws everything off.
Exactly. That's what we got to – it's too much for me, through my brain. So we got to start back over with the win. And then it's on par. We win. Then we go to – well, then that means a loss in Miami, but then we beat Atlanta at home, you know? So that'll be
– that one, it's, you know, which one means more to you kind of situation, you know?
Which one means more to you? I'd rather be Miami at this point than Atlanta, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely like the rivalry with Atlanta more, but I think that a lot of the Miami folks rubbed a lot of us very so much the annoying. Wrong way. That we've kind of just transitioned to the I'd much rather beat Miami now.
Yeah, and we're gonna have a traveling contingent there. The supporters groups are going on bus. JJ is going on the bus, right? JJ,
I'll be going on the bus with my boys Logan, Nick, Kyle. We're all gonna be. Oh, it's gonna be crazy on that ILF bus. Let me tell you, it's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, and JJ's gonna, he's an old man. He works like at 3 a.m. on the way back. He's gonna be sleeping, but
I'll be snoring with my CPAP machine right next to me with my sleep apnea. I'll be right there.
And then, but during the game, it's gonna be loud and rocking, and it would suck bad if we lose. It would be amazing.
Long bus ride home.
Yeah.
Everybody would be sleeping.
But Nani just, you know, murking them that time, and then them celebrating in front of the road wall. That was just epic. And then Cleon going berserk on the fans when they're leaving. I mean, we've had some highlight moments in Miami. Those were fantastic. Now, Mike, today was you and Cleon's favorite, one of the favorite days, like a holiday for you math nerds.
Dang right.
Yeah, they dropped the salaries today. They dropped and all that stuff. Orlando finished 26th out of 29 teams for lowest salary. So, Mike, talk to us about that. Tell us, what do you think that means? I've seen some of the, you know, typical Twitter fashion. People went and subtweeted other people and said, hey, all of you people got high expectations. Look at those numbers, you know. When you lower your expectations, it's not Oscar's fault, you know, et cetera. It's not whatever years of history Oscar has is irrelevant because of this one salary this year, you know. So people use it whatever they want to fit their agendas, right? So what was your takeaway about the numbers? Me and JJ, we don't got the numbers like that, right, JJ? Me and JJ are eye test and gut feeling kind of guys, right?
Exactly. I don't got time for that. I think Kyle Smith makes too much money.
JJ's been griping all day about Kyle Smith making $250,000, you know, and you know, Kyle Smith, maybe he negotiated himself like a balloon payment. You know what I mean?
Honestly, what they did is they probably just got him on the books to do some accounting work too. So they raised his salary up a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Things there you go. See, it's just, that's just working smarter, not harder, as far as the front office is concerned.
Yeah. I like it.
Why that's get an accountant and a backup fullback when you can just get one in the same guy?
Well, there you go.
So looking at salary release day is always fun just because it's kind of fascinating to look at like what other players are getting paid and where your team ranks. So obviously the most interesting thing out of today is that there's only three teams in MLS this year that have a lower like salary, you know, lower combined salary pay than Orlando City. And that's the Red Bulls, St. Louis City, and Montreal. So we're 26th in the league in salary payout, but our good friend Tom Bogert over at The Athletic now, he put some context on that and he wanted to remind everyone. He's like, so I say this every year, but salary spend can be a misleading figure. It's essentially how much teams spend on their DPs, which we'll talk about that a little bit more too. For instance, Orlando City has spent probably about $15 million in transfer fees over the last two seasons, in addition to the salaries that spend that they have of $11.23 million this year. So that's important to note that, yes, we are spending a lot of money on incoming players. It's just those players coming in, being the three U22 initiative players and Cesar Araujo, Ramiro Enrique, and Gaston Gonzalez, who the three of those combined are, we were probably paying what, like, those are probably about $7 to $9 million between the three of them in transfer fees. Plus the transfer fees for Ojeda and Cara and Facundo Torres. Like we've spent a lot of money on transfer fees. It's just those players aren't necessarily equating to expensive salaries.
Yeah, the only one making a million of those, the only player on our entire squad making over a million is Erchan Cara.
That's correct. Yeah, we only have one player on our team right now that's making over a milli, and that's Erchan Cara. Two players are close in Facundo Torres. Ojeda is close as well. So is Antonio Carlos. And then Pedro Gallese, of course, everyone was talking about, will Gallese come back? People are campaigning, make him a DP, which for I will gladly debate anybody that wants to in regards to DP and goalkeeper. Those are two words that should never go together. You should never make a goalkeeper a DP. That is a bad way to build your roster based off MLS constraints. But he still got paid, and that's the most important thing, because if you want to go ahead, you can look through this spreadsheet. He's the second highest paid goalkeeper in the league, so they did do right in making sure that they pay him, and the only goalkeeper that's making more of him is the only goalkeeper in the league that's a DP, and that's the one for St. Louis City, so in Roman Berkey. So some players got some raises, like Kyle Smith got a raise, Rodrigo Slagle got a raise. It is kind of crazy to see that like some of the draft picks still have such low salaries, like Shaq Mohammed, who hasn't seen a minute of first team action on the field because he's got a Generation Adidas contract. He's getting paid over 100K a year. And then you got guys like Duncan Maguire, who's getting paid, I think, 77,000 a year, and Abdi Salim, who's getting paid like 68,000 a year.
Thomas Williams. Yeah.
Yeah. Thomas Williams. He's got his homegrown deal. Mikey Holiday's on a little bit. Him and Mason are on like a little bit more expensive homegrown deals because they've been here for a few years. But very, very interesting figures to always kind of take a look at and see. You know, we can, the thing that stinks about these numbers is you still have to speculate a lot on what they mean. So we don't know how much money this actually means we have as far as wiggle room for the next window that opens as to, can we buy more players? Can we bring anybody in? What do we have to work with? That's the thing that kind of sucks the most about this, is that it's still a lot of guesswork. Me and Cleon talked a little bit earlier today. We probably do still have some allocation money sitting out there that we could bring somebody else in if we wanted to, whether it be trading that allocation money for another player domestically to bring in, or to try and bring somebody in and pay them with the allocation money as far as that against the cap. So it's going to be interesting to see what we could do. We currently have 29 players on the books. Max roster size is 30 players. So we have wiggle room for one player if we don't loan anybody out or sell any players coming up. But very, very interesting numbers. Highest paid player in the league is Shaqiri in Chicago, which that seems like a dud right now. Top paid teams with the most salary spend right now in the league as a whole are the LA Galaxy and Toronto, who are both not doing great. So it's another thing that's important to say, look at what the front office is doing. It's not always the most important thing to spend the most amount of money. It's about spending the money on the right people. Yeah. And allocating that money properly, whether it be through transfer fees instead of salaries. So you look at the fact that there's $25 million tied up in salaries in Toronto, and $14 million of that's between two players in Insigne and Bernardeschi.
And then two million tied up on fullbacks.
Yeah, because they're paying because of the contract that Richie Larea probably got from Nottingham Forest. His salary is $1.2 million, and then they're paying another $900,000 to a fullback that, you know, Perusa, I think his name is, who I haven't heard anything about him this year, so I don't think that means he's been doing great.
And they're sitting on 12 points right now. You know, yeah. They're on the shield. The standings, they're 25th, and Galaxy are 28th, second to last, tied.
Can I say something about the salary real quick?
Eddie, yeah, go for it.
Basically, you know, we talked a little bit about this earlier, and it was, you know, fans saying, oh, you know, like you said, Mike, Oscar, you know, look what he's working with, third, you know, whatever, lowest salary. Well, you hit it, $15 million in transfer fee, basically, with Ojeda, Facundo, you know, Ramiro, all these guys. You got to give the front office credit when credit's due to keep this low at $25 million and have a star-studded team, players like Facundo, who's, you know, to me a great player. You went and got him from Benetton, you know, Martin Ojeda. Gaston, I think, is still rehabbing himself after his injury last year. But I think give him another year and a half, he'll come out of it and he'll be a stud. But to have this lowest, the lowest, the third lowest or fourth or whatever it is in the MLS, and have the caliber of players that we have, I think it's phenomenal. The front office has done a great job keeping those salaries low.
And they've done a good job making it work on the cap, because as Mike said, a lot of those three, Gaston, Araujo, and Ramiro Enriquez, are under 22. So they only count because of their age. They're 21, etc. They count, what, $200,000 against the cap?
Yeah. So the way that it works with the under 22 initiative players is if you have one young DP, which ours is Facundo. So Facundo's salary only counts as $200,000 against the cap because of that. And if you have,
it's around $700,000 is what it really is.
Yeah, he actually, with incentives, his compensation will be just under $1 million as far as Facundo goes. So he has like up to $990,000, I think, is what it comes out to, $990,000. And then the Gaston, Cesar, and Ramiro, since they're under 22 but over 20, they'll count $200,000 against the cap, no matter what their actual salary is, as long as their salary is under $650,250 or whatever it is, which is the max budget charge that you can have for a player. So, in other words, without using any of the extra mechanisms for paying players, because the league makes this way more complicated than it needs to be, the max salary that you can actually pay a player that's not a DP, a TAM player, or any other initiative kind of player is about $650,000. Once they exceed that is when you kind of get into those thresholds of what does this player get classified as.
Gotcha. And that's when you have to buy down, et cetera.
Buy down players. Make them
in. That's why even though Pedro's almost on $1 million, he's not a DP.
Exactly.
And Carlos is up there too.
And I will say, before we kind of move off of the salary piece, I do think one of the more shocking numbers that we got today is, obviously, we knew that Mauricio Pereira, when he came back, he signed as not a DP. A lot of us assumed that him signing to not a DP contract probably would have put him around $1 million a year, because he was making about 1.5, 1.6 million previously. He's actually coming in at about 675K, which is a lot lower than I expected. He took a big pay cut to stay in Orlando for two more years. You know, that's a captain mentality right there, to take less to stay. So definitely, you know, credit to him for agreeing to that. That's definitely some good stuff right there.
I wonder if next year it balloons, you know, that's going to be my question.
I mean, that's one of the things that we're definitely, you know, have to keep in mind, because with the MLSPA, they, you know, collective bargaining agreement that they have with MLS, is that we should be seeing salary cap continuing to increase, and minimum salaries continuing to increase as well. So there realistically should be a lot of change that is going to continue to happen. But one of the things that is that COVID year really kind of put a, you know, monkey wrench in all of that, growth and agreement that was done, because it kind of really just delayed everything by like 2 years realistically, as far as the growth that owners were supposed to be putting into everything. So
gotcha. And I think the takeaway isn't that because we spend our salaries are low that the team is bad, because you're seeing big salary teams, you know, be bad on the other side, right?
Yeah.
TFC, Galaxy, etc., right? They're spending crazy. So it's not if Oscar was in charge of the Galaxy. All right, so what I'm getting at is, just because you spend a big amount on the salary doesn't mean you have a good roster. Just because you don't have big dollars on salary, it doesn't mean you have a bad roster. Orlando allocated their money to transfer fees, a lot of it to people who are salary caps and impacts are going to be minimum because of U22 initiatives, the young DP initiatives. And when you get younger DPs like that, you can pay them a little bit less. The Galaxy, the reason they're so high is because they have, you know, former world star in Chicharito's making, you know, $7 million, second highest player paid player in the league, I believe, right?
Yep.
Or third behind Shaqiri and Insigne. I think yes, third actually.
Correct. Yeah.
And then and then in Toronto is paying established guys. You know, established guys in Bernadeschi and Insigne. We're taking young guys with upside, right? Like somebody like Facundo Torres, and we're giving them it's expensive to buy, but we're giving them lower salary because where he came from, where they paid, and this is meant to be a springboard, so to speak, right? Kakata is not someone that's a springboard because he's older. This is more of just a nice career move for him. He's going to get paid a little bit more. So you can't look at the roster and then your whole time thinking this is a good roster.
Yeah.
And then because all of a sudden you see the salary numbers at the bottom, think they're not giving Oscar any good players. It's a good roster. It's a good roster. It's just managed well. Like JJ said, give them some credit. It's just been managed well the way they put it together. It doesn't mean we can't get some other players in a higher end. I would like to see upgrades on the fullbacks, upgrades on midfield, you know, like someone, you know, the Daggers only make it 200, like somebody who, like an Urso kind of thing, you know, I would love to see that.
Yeah. So, and we're
Urso was a high tan player.
Yeah, he was getting paid because I have the numbers from last year too, because I'm a dork and I have a spreadsheet on my work computer. Don't tell work that I do that sometimes. but there's Urso is making almost 900K a year. So he was a higher earner. But we're savvy about how we handle those contracts. And that's just good business and how we do it. Because I ended up kind of looking at things a little bit from more of a macro sense. Top 300 earners in the league, only 7 of them are in Orlando. Like,
wow.
Top 300 earning players out of all 29 teams. Yeah. Like, that's a lot of players. And the MLSPA website gives you everybody in the league, including some people who are in the MLS pool, like Dom Dwyer, who's still getting a paycheck from the league. Like,
how much is that paycheck?
I think he was like a 300 and something thousand, I want to say.
God, that him,
still
him
and not playing.
Yeah, him and Yuri Rosell's agent, bro. You know what? You know who I think is Dom's agent? Sydney LaRue. Because she's like, bro, you're still getting paid because I'm still getting some of that money. You know, she's always made more than him anyways. It's not like she needs it. But I'm just saying, you know, man's got some child support. That's all I'm saying. So, but shout out to Yuri Rosell getting $500,000 still somehow.
I did see, I don't know if you saw when I put in the group chat, there was some clarification on that. Apparently, the Galaxy are only paying him $85K a year. It's just there's from the cut from Kansas City is where that extra like $415,000 that he still owed is coming from, is essentially that Kansas City still owes him money. And that's where that money, that's where that $500K number comes
from.
And
that's probably why he still has to play, because if not, he would probably lose that money. And that's why he's on the bench with the LA Galaxy.
Right. That's a fact now. Yeah, fellas. Well, I mean, thank you, Mike, for that deep dive on that. Follow Mike at Mike Spillane and Mike A. Spillane. Right.
Yep.
You know, he's got a lot of stuff on that, and Cleon, they both are covering that. And me and JJ, we're just like it or retweet it, because, you know.
Yeah.
I saw that spreadsheet.
I'm not a math nerd.
Yeah. I went down. Thank God for you guys, because, you know, you guys are usually our bosses. So
all I saw was Kyle Smith was making $250,000. I was like, what?
Yeah, that's I just scrolled down.
I'm like, okay.
I scroll down, and man, still got a Corolla out there, rocking a Corolla, I'm pretty sure, you know? And the club gets like deals on Audi leases and whatever, and he's still rocking that Corolla. He's like, it's paid off, Papa. I'm not changing.
It's okay. You know how like the club also has a deal with like City Furniture and stuff? I'm pretty sure he posted something once.
He did. He said, thank you for the nice dresser the other day.
And it was literally like a dresser, just like nothing else around it. I was like, you got the most plain place on the planet, and I'm not shocked.
I went to City Furniture. My dad was a veteran of the year or the day. He got a $1,000 gift card. He gave it to me since he doesn't live in, you know, he lives in Puerto Rico. I went over there. Cindy LaRue was there that day. That was funny. And she was getting her.
Just getting Dom Dwyer's money to buy some furniture.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? You should upgrade that. That was nice. But how about that one? Yeah, so I got some stuff with that, man. They, you know, let's just say, what am I? My recliner broke. It's a 12-week wait for repairs. Yeah, city furniture, more like it rhymes with city furniture, you know. So
set it on the pod last week. Sorry.
Yeah, they're not our sponsor. We don't want them. I don't want them. Yeah. I pay. I don't owe you anything, but you owe me the back of my recliner. You know. So yeah. Never again.
No for City Furniture, right?
No, not at all. That's stuff. I've one of those guys who got in from all those big furniture stores, Ashley's rooms ago, and City, and City is furniture is bottom of the pack there.
Okay,
for me,
at least they got good coffee when you walk in.
This is true. They do. Yeah. Well, we got New York. I wanted to say something too about NYCFC. I part of the reason I think we're going to win is, man, you know, they play in that sandbox up there, you know, that little league park. They're 4-0-1 at home, away 0-5-2. Okay. So right now their goal differential is -1. It's not great. We're at -2. They got 2 more goals than us, but they've allowed one more goal. So they're still kind of sorting their way out. They're trying to see whoever Pep doesn't want or whatever other team they have and their 7 Empire, you know, CFI group, you know, hegemony, whoever, whatever leftovers they can pick up on and make it like run like they normally do. But right now they're still sorting themselves out. So they're vulnerable, and we need to win at home. And why not beat why not beat that team who sucks on the road? Who they're markedly better at home, no matter what year, who's coaching, what players in that sandbox. It's you could put any team on there; they're going to play. It's going to be an advantage for some reason.
Because if you train in that, you're going to be better in that.
Yeah, they play indoor soccer for training, and then they come out and they're ready for their little diamond over there. You know,
do they play at Ruckus Park?
They're playing futsal and they go out
futsal
there
at Ruckus Park and then go to the Bronx and finish playing out there.
Exactly.
Hey, they did finally put out renderings of the new stadium that they're going to be building in the Bronx. It's coming in when am I supposed to die?
What is it? 2050?
Yeah, I think it's 2027 or something like that. Okay. They're expected to open.
Yeah, when I see it happen, I'll
right, exactly. Yeah, for sure. And and we'll watch it not be ready on time, and they still play like their season opener at Red Bull Arena or something. That'll be hilarious.
I mean, speaking of new stadiums and teams we're playing this week, have they broken ground on Miami Freedom Park yet?
Right. I think they're still sticking. They're still taking needles out of the garbage lot that they. They're still taking syringes out there. They got people with metal detectors, you know.
Didn't they also find that there was like radiation or something in the
radiation.
Ground? I don't remember what it was, but I remember.
It's okay.
They still play at Fort Lauderdale. It's toxic waste, I think, is what it was.
Yeah. TWFC, Toxic Waste FC. Miami right now is tied on points, but various tiebreakers. Their goal differential is 0, but they have 5 wins. We have 4 wins. They have no draws. They either win or lose. But the thing about them is they have won the last couple. Gary Neville got the little hot seat, you know. People say putting a little pressure from the fans doesn't work. Well, yeah. Well, they've won 5 in a row. You look at the Open Cup. Yeah, they beat Miami FC in the Miami whatever. Yeah, the USL team on the US Open Cup. Then they beat Columbus, and remember, Columbus was working us, and they didn't have Lucas El Rayon too. So
yeah.
That was a break for us there. And then they beat Atlanta at home. And they beat Columbus on the road, by the way. We just came to the road, so a little bit, you know, fair competition there, to a fair comparison. Then they beat Charleston Open Cup. And then they beat the first place on the Shield, New England Revolution, last Saturday. And guess which guy scored? Joseph Martinez in the 44th minute got the winner. And against Atlanta, that man had a brace and a penalty kick and the goal to get ahead in the 70. I mean, the goal to get two up the 75th minute. And man, that guy, after all those years in Atlanta, he did his dumb King celebration. Goodness, he's annoying, but he's on good form, just in time to screw with us because he always scores on us somehow and finds a way. And we're going there Saturday. So how are you guys feeling about that one? We'll start with you, Mike. I'm feeling a little more pessimistic because I don't think we're winning. I don't think we're winning two in a row just yet. So let me just say it. I think it's a draw. I want to be positive because you guys are traveling out there. But a part of me thinks 2-1 loss.
I mean, I'm not traveling out there. You're not offending me.
Yeah, I'm JJ. JJ's going over there. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to, you know, just for positivity, I'm going to say 1-1 draw. Mayor Joseph gets a goal. And then because I think Duncan's an alpha male, Duncan gets a goal to rescue us after Joseph embarrasses us. So Duncan defends us, you know. Duncan.
I mean, I said that it's going to be, you know, most Orlando City fashion is we're going to end up winning. And I think that in this game, it's going to be the Martin Ojeda breakout game. He is going to go and give us reminders of Nani scoring bangers in the Erector Set Stadium.
Is he gonna chip the goalie from 60? He's been trying every game.
He's been trying. He's not gonna chip the goalie from 60.
Law of averages, one of them's gonna go in eventually during his contract.
At some point, yeah. So no, I think not this year, but eventually. I think he'll end up doing well down in Miami. He'll get us a goal or two. And you know, that's, we're gonna win in Miami. Because you know, that's the way that it's just working right now. The games that don't make sense are the ones we're going to win.
That's I hear you. So JJ,
they're hot right now. We have no reason that we should be able to beat them. So clearly, we're going to beat them.
So JJ's been positive. He's saying if we build on the second half momentum from the Columbus game, right? We managed to be protagonists and what they, you know, keep the ball and keep them away from our box, man. Because you know what was killing us? Them getting behind, stretching us, and pullbacks, right? Those pullbacks were killing us. Yep. And New York City does something similar. We got to watch out for them against that. But Miami plays a little different, a little more direct, in my opinion, because they got an old English coach. You know, it's a little breaks the ball every now and then. Never hurt somebody. But JJ, are you going to be super positive and back-to-back wins or what?
All right. So let me tell you something. I'm getting down there on the bus with Aya left. We're going to party.
Gonna listen to a whole lot of Iron Maiden.
Florida Turnpike. Listen
what
to
the Elf Life.
Whatever. Probably listen to Logan play some of his guitar and sing or whatever.
Shout out to Atlas.
But we get to Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport Stadium. And let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to not remember one single bit of the damn game because I'll probably be drunk off my ass. But I'll tell you something right now. We will win. We're going to beat Miami. We go down there, we're going to beat them. Listen, if the second half, if we play like we did that second half against Columbus and we beat New York FC, I think the wheels on the train are back on track, and I think we might have finally something. Now I got to come up with the negative part.
There's two sides every coin, right?
Now, if Mauricio comes in, you know, and we start getting staggered again in that midfield area, they're all just playing around with each other, then it's not going to look good, and they're going to beat us, I'll tell you. But if we come out and play our style, just come out, like, you know, throw the tactics out, man. Just go attack. We can do it. We can score. Just go out there, score, you know, score 2-0. Then park the bus. I don't care if you park the bus if we're up 2-0. Because if they score a goal, it'll be in the 90th minute.
Our numbers look, our numbers and chance creation and defensive numbers look great when we go all attack mode.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's really like, you know, like the Man City, like they just, we pepper them and they don't really create a chances. They're some breakaways that come from it, but we have a really good one-on-one goalie. let Pedro bail us out now every now and then. I'd rather Pedro bail us out on a one-on-one when we're trying to pepper their goal than to keep Pedro trying to bail us out with, like, you know, 10 shots in a matter of like 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
And we're down 1-0
off of deflection because everyone's on his lap. You know, Jansen's on this in the 6-yard box getting deflected,
like,
off of.
Like, I know that goal differential is important and everything, but I'd much rather win games 4-3 than painfully win the game 1-0 and get completely trounced for 90 minutes and now us just get lucky with like a PK or something like we did against the Red Bulls to start the season.
Give me
a 4-3 win. Make it a thrilling game. I don't care if we allow goals. I just want to make sure that we're scoring goals. And if that means we have to let the defense suffer a little bit, then I'm fine making that sacrifice when you have a world-class World Cup caliber keeper between the sticks. Like,
yeah, bro, make him earn that money, bro. Make it a cool mill.
Exactly. We're paying him a cool million now. Like,
he's got
reflexes over against Columbus to save the point. Like, come on.
Yeah, my uncle was like, man, he really is an octopus. You know, he was like, he's like, put replay it. And I was like, it's going to replay it. He's like, wow. You know, and shout out to his Arroco Mariscos, which is a basically Peruvian paella. It had some octopus in there. Shout out. So we had that on Saturday, just in time, man. Little shrimp, little scallops, and some nice
seafood
octopus
rice.
For seafood, yeah,
rice.
Seafood rice. Yeah, a little shout out to the octopus.
Rose de Marisco.
Yeah, yeah. And JJ, so I'm with JJ. 2-0, get up. Let's get after it. And then park the bus at 2-0.
Yeah, but I don't care.
Now, yeah.
Even 3-0. Go out, score 3 goals, park the bus, and get the bus ready to come back to Orlando. And let's party on the way back.
That's it. JJ sleeping and drooling on the back with the CPAP. You know?
Oh, no. I'll be up and drinking at that point after we lose.
He's going to turn that CPAP into like a bong.
A beer bong.
Just poured it down the CPAP little tube, you know? Yeah, yeah. Well guys, well, okay. Well, we got some optimism. I say, Mike, what was the score? I say draw. I say we beat New York. You said we were
against New York, and I'm going to go a demoralizing 3-0 shutout in Miami. We're gonna beat the piss out of Neville.
Oh, we're gonna win. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought we were being demoralized.
No, I said we're gonna win the game that we shouldn't win. We're gonna.
That's right. You did.
We're gonna beat the brakes off of Fort Lauderdale.
Oh man, right now, anybody with the name Neville and me are just enemies. Just hear his dumb brother. He predicted Man City wins the league. Everybody knew that was happening. You know, United. You know, I'm tired of it. So all the Nevilles.
You guys bottled it, but I know why it happened. It's not that you guys failed. It's that you got injuries at the wrong time. I'll give you guys a pass because of that.
For sure. And look, 95 points, I mean, that's the second, it's going to be the second highest total of all time if you for a winner. So, you know, we didn't get it so well. But look, like, I'll real quick, just caveat, look, Arsenal losing the league means less to me than Orlando City losing one game. Because I'm not really, you know, I'm not from there. It doesn't mean that much to me. But Orlando City loses a game and it hurts my soul. Arsenal losing the league, it sucks. It would have been fun if they won it, but I don't really care that much. You know, it doesn't hurt me. Orlando City is where my heart is, what I'm getting at. So let's get to shout outs. Mike, you got anything? Or JJ, what do you got? Shout out.
Okay. Shout out. Time. Shout out to the ILF boys. They know who they are. Good shout out. And then second shout out of the night is to Kermit the Frog.
Oh boy.
Kermit. Let me tell you something, Kermit. You and Miss Piggy, I don't know what's been going on. I don't know if you guys are getting a divorce or what. You need to slow it down, man, on the Twitter. But Kermit, you just showed up all of a sudden, just like going after everybody, man. Slow down. I don't know if you and Miss Piggy need to go into marriage counseling or anything, but slow it down, man.
That's a funny image, to be honest. You know?
Kermit!
That's a funny image.
So, Kermit, just slow it down a little bit, and it's okay, man. Everything's going to be okay. We all friends and everything. Grover, don't worry. He's not going to take or Fonzie's not going to take Miss Piggy, so it's okay, brother. Just relax.
Yeah. Grover's a Muppet, but I mean.
Grover's a Muppet.
Close. He corrected it.
You did it. You're good. You landed it. Good job. All right, Mike, you got any shout-outs?
I mean, really, all of that is just, you know, everybody on Orlando Twitter sometimes needs to go touch a little bit of grass. So,
bro, yeah. But that's it. To the grass, right? or some field turf.
That's not my shout-out. My shout-out,
I got some field turf at home, and you guys want to touch that.
Touch some – Field Turf USA.
Yeah, yeah. I got a piece of the field. I got a piece of the stadium. I do.
Oh no. My shout out is going back to some of the internet sleuths out there and to Pup's Pub in Orlando, which played an integral part in the U.S. securing the one-time switch of Arsenal starlet
and Balogun. Wait, how did they make how were they integral? I missed that.
Oh, did you not see when the U.S. men's national team was playing their
training,
their conference league game in Orlando, he was photographed in Orlando. He went to a Magic game.
He went to a Yankee
spring training game. But the first photos that got posted of him in Florida, someone found out that based off of the buildings around him, that he was in front of Pup's Pub, which is a dog bar in downtown Orlando.
Yeah, I heard of, yeah,
a bar that you can bring your dogs to. That's where he was sitting out in front of, where the picture was posted of him. Nice. So shout out to Falar and Balogun with Stade de Reims in France. And of course he's with Arsenal. Welcome to the U.S. men's national team, making that one-time switch. Not going to be playing for England, and is going to be scoring against Mexico in the upcoming international window. And also shout out to not a friend of the show, but wish he was a friend of the show, Alexis Guerreros. He got to break that on Morning Footy. He seemed pretty excited about it.
Yeah, me and Mike met him at the NBC Premier League thing. Nice guy, exactly on TV. Super nice guy.
Him and Christian Polanco, both great.
Both of them great. Yeah.
Right before Eddie, before your shout out, I want to give a shout out. One more shout out to new U.S. head men's national team head coach, Thierry Henry, who will be announced probably within the next week.
Man, hey, and you know what? Shout out to Thierry Henry. And it's probably a good time because he with Kate Abdo, Thierry Henry, more like Thierry Horny. He said, slow down. Take it easy.
That gave it away. I'm sorry. The clip that you showed you sent in the chat, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
The CBS Golazo show.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, the way that Jamie Carragher was talking about it, it's
the way that Henry was. That it's like, he's going to be the next coach.
The way Carragher was talking it up, and the way that Henry was just like, "Well, my phone's not ringing." It's ringing. Like, you are really bad at trying to cover it up if somebody's been talking to you already.
Yeah, Henry had that face, looking at him, and Jamie Carragher's like, "You're going to be the greatest coach in the world," bro, take it easy. And but Henry and Flo Balogun, little Arsenal, the U.S. could really get some swag in there. Flo starts, goes right into the nine.
I still think they're going to hire Jesse Marsh, but I wouldn't be mad about Henry. So
yeah, and also shout out to a former podcast guest, very nice to us, Oguchi Onyewu, in his gig with our U.S. men's national team. He's been working at this for a while, guys. When we met him, he was doing sporting director stuff with OCB. Mike Potempa was really getting him, he was studying under him, who was Mount Verde is, the SEMA has been a powerhouse for like a decade plus, And Gooch has been working at this for a while. He gave us so much of his time. Always really cool when he says hi. I like flutter when he recognizes me, because, he is awesome.
He hates me.
Yeah. Well, because you're like
the reason why he hates me because I'm a Benfica. He's a sporting guy. Sporting. But that's the thing, what you're saying there is he's been, AC Milan, been to Italy, played in Italy, played in Portugal. He's played with the biggest teams in the world, and for him to get that, gig with the U.S. national team, man, it's phenomenal. It's great, I mean, I love it.
They might bring me back, Mike. I might, who knows?
Hey, you never know.
Yeah. A special shout out to Benji Michelle, Papa. I feel bad. He tore his Achilles out there. We love Benji. Watching all those Open Cup montages, man, we don't win that Open Cup without Benji at all. That guy came through for his town like nobody else, man. He helped. He was maybe the most important player in that Open Cup run. And who cares he's the most? He was a very important player. I'm glad he led his city to a trophy before he left. But he tore his Achilles. It's going to take a while, out there in Portugal. So hopefully, Benji, we love you. Or, Orlando's.
He's got braces king. Now, too, man.
Yeah, he's got braces. Yeah, he got that, got that Greenberg dentistry, orthodontics. going, and Invisalign going on. I can see them. But hopefully his Achilles is good. And guys, don't forget, It's good to have an online presence and vote. Don't forget to vote for Nani for player of MLS's back tournament. All right.
What the heck is it?
Inside joke. All right, fellas.
Okay, with good that,
yeah. If we got nothing else, fellas, I'll see you guys. We'll try to do dad after Wednesday and Sunday, Saturday, and we'll see you guys hopefully tomorrow. And
hey, one thing, you guys might have to get a GoFundMe thing, you know, for bail money for Fort Lauderdale Police Department jail, you know, because I might end up there. I don't know. I'm going with ILF. I don't know what the heck's gonna happen.
All right.
Don't go to. I don't got that kind of money.
Yeah, so. That's it. You know, don't look at the podcast. We know our podcast account. We have $2.
Oh, that's right. We're negative 200.
We got that negative money. Not even manscaping. You know, you guys. Hey, the Dakota's still active. Check out Lions. Yeah, Dead.
Our bank account's
been using it. Huh?
The pod bank account's negative 200 and a couple of ball trimmers.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, fellas. Yeah.
Mamos Orlando. Let's go. Let's kick some butt.
It's the summer, guys. 10% off the code Lions Den. Get your, it's going to get hot. All right, guys. Vamos Orlando. We'll see you guys for you tomorrow or hopefully get a win. Everybody, peace out. Let's go. Vamos Orlando.
Vamos.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.